Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, so I said I was done with North Korea. This is the more... Can you have a lighthearted North Korea conversation when we're talking about nuclear capability? I think you can in this way. We're texting as we're watching this. Dennis Rodman getting interviewed yesterday by Chris Cuomo. He's got the... is it Potcoin? Is that the group that sent him over there? He's got the MAGA hat on. He's getting emotional. He's talking about death threats that he faced because he was a part of it. At one point, he said the secretary reached out to him. Then today, he said it was the press secretary. I thought he meant like the secretary, not the press secretary. I mean, how bizarre was that when we're watching this? When Dennis Rodman... is the biggest coup, Adam, for any network to get on talking about interacting with this guy that nobody else had met until yesterday. Dennis bleeping Rodman. And also James Clapper saying that Dennis Rodman is critical to this happening. It's your country.
America 2018.
It is.
Well, there's a local connection.
Oh.
Wayzata Public Schools tweeted earlier this morning, politics aside, 2010 Wayzata High School grad Alex Anderson had a front row seat to history last night when hashtag Trump Kim entered the room. Anderson is one of the first to follow. The taller guy with glasses and camera in hand, and they include a video that shows this young man. He'd be, 2010 grad? That'd be...
So he's 18 then. So he's 26.
26, yeah.
And he
local connection.
Works for the Trump administration?
They don't identify what he actually does.
He works for North Korea?
I'm going to guess he works for the Trump administration.
It'd be a better story if he worked for North Korea.
Hey, got to find work where he can get it.
You know, we talk often, like a lot of people have, where when the surgery is done on a famous person, what does the statement say, Adam? If today...
It was successful. Underwent successful surgery.
Right. And sometimes you got to believe the surgeons have a bad day. And there have been some horrible stories. How about the translators? Do translators ever have bad days?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, do we know much about the one translator Clapper was saying was somebody from South Korea? Would you want that responsibility?
No.
That is a lot of pressure.
Because you're thinking, I mean, in all seriousness, it's not only is the obvious language difference, but then how things are interpreted and how you would say this, is there terminology in the English language
right.
that can be translated into Korean? And, you know, the nuance, will that be conveyed? I mean, you look at the example I can think of is, you know, you always see those funny posts about like when American movies are translated, even the titles are translated into Chinese,
right.
and how absurd they can be.
Okay, here's one that I think was silly, again, with the lighthearted part of this. When at one point Trump is actually trying to be self-deprecating, and they're taking photos, and he says, hey, make us more handsome and make us slim, right? I think he says something like that. And people are trying to go, was he fat-shaming Kim Jong-un, stop.
You're suddenly defending Kim Jong-un and his weight.
Exactly. He was making fun of himself. So, I mean, it's rare when the president shows self-deprecation. Let's give him a little bit there. All right, 1:07. I want to talk about Meet Minneapolis. You know where I stand, Adam, on these silly overestimations about what happens when events come to town. It sounds like Meet Minneapolis went way overboard. A city council member tied to that story when we come back. Anybody that's listened to me since I came back knows that I like when we have events in town. Okay. And then there's a fair conversation about, you know, what should be the public involvement versus private involvement on stadiums. And we had this conversation a lot leading up to the Super Bowl about what the Super Bowl would mean. And we even had the numbers come out recently. And I'll admit I was skeptical of those also. Doesn't mean I wouldn't have the events, but just some of the – I just feel like the numbers get overinflated just to justify. So I'll admit I was drawn to this story when I first saw it in the Tribune, an Andy Manick story. Audit, tourism boosters inflated success by $196 million. No, not $1.96 million, not $19 million. $196 million. Let me read from Andy's story, and I'll bring in Lene Palmisano, a council member we chatted with before. The nonprofit tasked with drawing tourism, convention, and national events to Minneapolis overstated its success by nearly $200 million over 3 years. Meet Minneapolis gave flawed estimates by double counting money generated by events, relying on pre-event estimates instead of readily available final counts, and at least in one case, ignoring a contractual mandate to procure an independent audit, according to a city audit presented Monday. Lene Palmisano, city council member, she chairs the audit committee, and Lene is kind enough to join us. Thank you, council member. I appreciate you coming on. How does it happen where they're this far over in this estimate? Because I guess when we're talking about the large events, I can understand even this figure's extraordinarily high, a million or two. But to be over by $200 million is absurd.
Hi, Chad. Yes, I absolutely agree with you. This is about being really transparent, and this is what I love about the audit team. I get to chair the audit committee for the city of Minneapolis, and I think that the way that this error happened was in some accidental double counting, but double counting that ended up in very large number errors, like you mentioned, almost $200 million.
So was it willful or was it sloppy?
I don't think that it was malfeasance here. As I said to Andy Mannix yesterday, this was just really sloppy work by Meet Minneapolis.
Now, most people, when they think of Meet Minneapolis, they think that they're fairly respected, that good people work there, mm-hmm. and they've been an asset. Mm-hmm. But if you get it this wrong, shouldn't somebody within that organization have spotted it before the numbers were this disproportionate?
Mm-hmm. Well, in fairness, this is something we engaged on with Meet Minneapolis. Our contract with them is predicated on performance metrics, right? And we rely on those to know if our investment of city resources, meaning your taxpayer money, is paying off into what degree, right? So in order to do that, we need to know we can trust their reports, and that's why I sent our auditors in.
Well, see, this is when I get to whether it was direct or indirect, because from what you just said and from what I understand, if they're going to come to you and say that it is $200 million, are they benefiting even more? Do they have a potential to be in a better position compared to if they would have said it was worth, let's go a fourth, $50 million?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know they hit their key performance indicators even with the restated numbers. So that additional incentive pay would still be intact. But there's no specific string for us to know, right, like what it's spent on or not. I would imagine that it would be reasonable to know that within Meet Minneapolis there might be a employee bonus structure in place.
Right. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So, let's say, I'll use my figure of $50 million. Was that just the minimum, the amount of money that they would get back to them compared to it was significantly more if it kept going up higher? That's what I'm trying to understand.
It wasn't proportional. It was just about hitting a performance metric or not. So they did, even with the restated numbers,
okay.
I think, meet those performance metrics. It's not part of our audit environment what Meet Minneapolis then is going to go and do that on, whether it's employee bonuses or not. It shouldn't matter to the taxpayer. It's really about how effective are they at making good use, the very best use of your money.
Are you saying that Minneapolis taxpayers should accept this explanation, or should they be mad at how Meet Minneapolis arrived at such an egregious overestimation?
I think that calculating something like economic impact is always going to be an estimation by nature. But if we're going to continue offering contracts with Meet Minneapolis with public money attached, we need to understand that Meet Minneapolis has checks and balances and that they're going to be less sloppy in the future. And we're going to check on that.
Okay. Should they continue to have this role, or should other people have this role?
Well, their contract is up in the next 2 years. So yeah. I expect that there will be, at the very least, some renegotiated ways that we are measuring their performance.
Lene Palmisano is with us, a city council member, about this audit regarding Minneapolis and overestimating by close to $200 million. Their vice president, Courtney Reese. Yep. Said, hard to measure. It's an ongoing conversation with the city over how to estimate how much money the tourism agency has brought. She said there was some human error that led to overstatements. She said the audit found only minor errors and missing elements and does not undermine the success of the organization. This is great feedback for us to take into consideration. Now, I get that it's great feedback, but when she says minor errors and missing elements, how can $200 million be minor errors?
Yeah, I don't see how it can be. Meet Minneapolis is its own nonprofit, but I think what the city has to learn from this is that we have opportunities to improve the rigor of our contract oversight.
Here's another part of the story that I want to get you to react to. The president and CEO, Melvin Tennant, received a renewed contract in 16 from then board chairman Bob Lux, and said the pay was tied directly to Tennant's performance and bringing in $430 million to the economic impact of Minneapolis. Those estimates were off by $122 million.
Yep.
So is Melvin Tennant still there?
I believe he is. He was yesterday when we shared the
Okay. So do you believe in Melvin Tennant right now?
You know, I think that ultimately leadership needs to be held accountable. I think that this is a major error, and it could have impacted new investments, and I'm just glad we know it now.
So right.
I think it's yet to be seen how they will respond to this. They did invite in the audit. They did accept every single finding of this audit, but let's see what they do next.
Is there any further investigation that you, through the city council, wants to oversee or conduct to be assured that it was, as I started, a mistake by sloppiness versus they were trying to do this for financial benefit?
Yeah, I haven't yet had those conversations with my colleagues, but I imagine I will be over the next couple of days.
Are you getting strong reaction from fellow council members, or how is this playing out?
Certainly it was a front page story in the Star Tribune, so there's
right.
a lot of interest in it. I think that the way that I see it is that similar to how our mayor sees it, which is, well, thank goodness that, one, we found this now, and two, we're being transparent about this with the public.
How should Minneapolis taxpayers and then other people like myself who work down here or believe, as I do, that it's really important for our largest city to be vibrant, not downplaying the other ones? I want them to be successful also, but it really matters when the biggest city. How should those folks feel about, you know, other taxpayer money when we see something like this that was off by such a significant amount of money?
Yeah, I think that's something that resonates pretty clearly with me as a representative and with others here in the public. Right, we are going to work very hard to keep the public's trust, and that's part of why I'm here and why I focus on the things I do at City Hall.
Thank you, Lene. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Chad.
I think if you missed any part of our conversation, you always can podcast. This hour will be up fairly soon, WCCO.com/Chad, WCCO radio.com/Chad. Lindsay does a great job getting the hours up there quickly. Now, I'm not going to say, well, let's use it. Let's pause. I want to react more to this. If you want to react, you certainly can. 81807 or 651-989-9226. I find this absolutely stunning. And it's on the front page, so it's getting publicity. I just don't know if it's getting as much publicity as it should. And I get that because the North Korea story is just so massive. A little bit more on this when we come back. Again, meet Minneapolis. They achieve its economic goals, but then overstate its impact by $122 million in 2015. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, it's corrupt, borderline. I mean, it's ridiculous. Overstating your impact, Lindsay, by $122 million. I'd like to announce that we've done some numbers on our show. Our economic impact in 2017 was $4 trillion. I mean, you agree, right, Lindsay? Are you with me on the four? That's our, and we've used the same people from Meet Minneapolis. You know, $4 trillion. Prove us wrong.
I mean, I've always been really good at math, and that sounds quite accurate.
Yeah, and then when it turns out it's $10, you know what we'll say? Courtney Reese said, "You know, there were just some minor errors and missing elements for an overestimation of $122 million in 1 year. Minor errors, man, that takes some chutzpah."
How do you work that into, you know, like obviously they still have the contract,
yeah,
they're still getting paid.
Good luck getting that extended.
But is there anything worked into a contract typically that would give the city of Minneapolis some leverage on?
Right. During the contract, if your numbers are this far off, to say, it's been a good run.
Yeah. Or we were set to pay you. I'm using hypothetical numbers.
Right.
We were going to pay you $50,000. You were so wrong. We only have to pay you $40,000.
Well, that's why I was asking too on the number 50 million. Are they getting more? The council member, Paul Masana, was saying, no, it was a minimum, and they reached their minimum, and it wasn't proportionate. Like, so if these numbers were accurate, no, if these numbers were intended just to get more money, she's saying no, that was not the story. Listen, anytime something's on the front cover of the Tribune, which is the biggest news force in this town, it's going to get publicity. I want to hear other people talk about it. I don't know if Heinze talked about it. I don't know if other shows on our station elsewhere, because this is craziness.
And Andy Mannix is a very good investigative reporter for the Star Tribune. He's had
huge scoops
the last couple of months. He had the one about the McDonald's that wasn't paying their employees the Minneapolis minimum wage. So I am a little surprised that when you asked me about, you know, getting Lene Palmisano on, I looked, you know, up the story and it came up and I read it and I was very surprised. And I get international news, but the people
both.
I follow on Twitter are very engaged in what's happening in Minneapolis and do not take a chance or do not throw away a chance to mock a group like Meet Minneapolis, who does great work. But we talk all the time about, you know, the Super Bowl and the number of influenced people who came to town.
Hold on. Meet Minneapolis just sent me a text. They say our show brought in $6 trillion.
Sounds about right.
Trillion. That's better. That's
all
better.
The tissues I need to cry after we're all done. Kleenex makes a lot of money off the show.
Yeah, I mean, you could buy a lot of tissues for $6 trillion. I mean, we could have a lot of lunches
I could buy Kleenex for $6 trillion.
Yeah, what could we do? So, yeah. More people need to talk about this. Also, the mayor and other city council members need to speak out. And what is the system within the city to make sure more of this in other areas is not happening? Now, Paul Masana can say, as she did, hey, our audit group saw it and spotted it. I just cannot believe 1 year they were off by $122 million. We're going to skip the open. It's because mainly we're just gossiping and talking about things off air. Are you bothered if we don't go with your open, Jamie Yuccas?
No, I love gossip. Let's do it. What's going on?
Well, I want to talk about your love life, and you've told me that I shouldn't talk about this, but are you willing to discuss when you and Kim Jong-un had the six-month tryst?
Oh, you are so ridiculous.
I mean...
You know what? I'm over. I'm over any.
You're over Kim Jong Un now.
No, yeah, I'm over him too. I'm over this whole thing.
I'm told that your first date miniature golf, and he supposedly is a tremendous golfer. I would assume he played an 18-hole course and he finished it with 12. You know, he was.
You're on a roll today, aren't you?
Well,
I can tell. It's one of those days, isn't it?
Well, we've been talking all sorts of serious stuff. We're getting back to the serious stuff, back to North Korea next hour. So,
okay, let's have some fun then.
Uber can tell if you're drunk by the way you hold your phone. That's the headline right here.
What?
So, a patent submitted by
Uber.
What
if I'm just kind of clumsy?
The problem. According to the patent, an algorithm will be able to do look for the user making typos.
Okay.
Not precisely clicking on the links, the way they're holding the phone, the walking speed, and how long it takes to request a ride.
Ah.
The system will also look out for factors such as time of the day, where a ride is requested.
Yeah.
For example, it may decide a user is drunk if they're walking down a street that is a nightclub. Really? I mean,
that's
wow.
Shocking. What riveting information.
So, isn't this kind of the point of Uber? For a lot of people?
Well, I mean, here in Southern California, I'll tell you, that's a lot of people have told me that that's really changed the game. You know, the funny thing is when you move from New York to California, people are like, oh, you got to drive everywhere, man. It's going to be terrible. But now, because of Uber and Lyft, you know, you can get between the neighborhood so much easier. And I do think for a number of people, especially here, why risk a DUI if you're going to go out?
Correct.
You know, and obviously it's horrible anyway, like you shouldn't be drinking and driving,
right.
But why even risk it if you got Uber or Lyft?
Well, and Lindsay, you chime in this also. There also was the report from Uber a few weeks ago about a panic button, okay, because
obviously
Uber has faced a lot of serious
backlash
and accusations and
their
former boss handled. Would that make you, if it's just you? Right. Does that make you feel any more confident if you know they have something where you can get a hold of somebody with Uber and it corrects right to the authorities right
away?
Yeah,
I think that's great. I personally, yes.
Lindsay, what do you think?
Oh, 100%. I think sometimes I'm a little bit more confident than I think I should be. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm totally
very quick to jump in. And I've gotten to the point where. Like, if I go out without John and I'm taking an Uber or I'm whatever,
yep.
I always make sure to communicate who my driver is or what I'm doing or if I'm taking a cab or whatever that is. But, yeah, there's definitely some intimidation factor because, you know, there could always be that one time. Do I think every Uber driver is a terrible human? Absolutely
no.
not.
No.
But there have been enough headlines.
Yes. And I've met many lovely Uber drivers, for the record, over the course of the last few years. Many of them in transition in life or, like, just want to do this for fun. Lots of retirees.
That's where you
met. I don't think they're all bad.
That's where you met Kim Jong-un. I mean, it was before he took over the country. And he was trying to get to know America a little bit better.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Your guy Chris Van Cleave had this report yesterday where – okay, the whole self-driving cars, right?
Yeah.
And we know, including right where you're at, becoming more and more prominent. Then we have stories like the one in Tempe a couple months ago where someone is killed and it sets things back and makes us pause. Well, Chris had this report that some of these now may have the capability that if in theory you're sitting in the back seat, you then can communicate by a ping to someone who works for this company. And the example that Chris used was there's a construction project going on. Like right now there's a huge one going on 35W.
Oh, my gosh. I've heard about this. Yeah, it's like insane, right?
Yeah, for the first 2 days, it's been much ado about nothing, but there's a long ways to go.
Yeah,
but you get to a construction situation, And the computer, which planned this all out when there was nobody there and all the lanes were open, is completely confused because people are signaling back and forth. And you can ping away, and now all of a sudden it's going to alert some guy back at headquarters, and he's going to drive the vehicle through the problem.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched it. Your network, Van Cleave, I forget if he had the beard or not. He looks good. I think you should keep the beard. That would be my advice.
That's funny. He and I are in disagreement about it. I don't love the beard. Chris is a good friend of mine. Chris is a great guy. But the beard, you really like it? I feel like I don't know.
Yes, I like it. He's got a bit of the baby face.
He does have a baby face.
So I think he's trying to look like more I'm Chris Van Cleave, journalist. You know, he's got the beard going a little bit. You know, some people can pull off the beard. You got the Lamborghini, you got the Benz, and you got the Ferrari. So this isn't an issue for you. But if you get to a point where you're in the self-driving car, would you like to have that ability where you just ping and all of a sudden here's Dave from back in, you know, Silicon Valley, and he's going to drive you through their construction?
I think that's a great idea. I think anything to make our life easier is a great idea.
Lindsay, are you going to feel good about how many people are we going to need to be Dave back in Silicon Valley 10 years from now when there's going to be millions of these cars out there?
There are a lot of video game loving men who are updating their resumes right now.
Very good point.
Who like play, what is the, what's the one where you like steal the cars? This is how up on.
Grand Theft Auto.
Thank you. Yeah. Grand Theft Auto. And like I've played the one like Mario Kart. Like, all these guys are going to be putting it on their resume to get a job with Uber.
Yeah. Well, most of those guys are high when they're playing the game. So I'm not going to feel so good when the guy who's doing the one hit while he's driving me through rush hour.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Is that a driving under the influence? If Dave back at headquarters
that's a very
is
good
high
question.
On marijuana.
I don't know.
But he's not actually driving the car.
Wow.
These are the conundrums.
Yes.
The Supreme Court's going to have.
So
yeah, right?
You're in the vehicle now, Jamie. It's reached a point where you need to ping Dave, but Dave is just baked, right? I mean, so your car is just weaving back and forth. And the officer... pulls you off to the side. Are you getting the DUI or is Dave getting the DUI?
I don't know. Fascinating, isn't it?
Yes. That's a very good dilemma. Another one for you. Now, this one shows some courage, and it's in your town, Southern California.
Okay.
So they were spending a hot Sunday at the water park. Their family stopped at a taco truck. What do you say on tacos, by the way? Overrated, underrated, properly rated tacos.
Properly rated. I
properly
love it.
Properly rated. Hard shell or soft shell?
I think it depends on your mood.
Yeah. Okay. Your mood right now.
I would love to have a hard shell taco.
Would. Lindsay's just.
I am team soft shell all the way.
Oh, my God. You're Lindsay.
But
what's wrong?
This is Jamie, I'm going to blow your mind here for just a second.
Communist.
This is the trick. You lay out a soft shell taco.
I didn't realize
on your
there
plate.
Was a trick to
just
tacos.
Wait. You lay out the soft shell taco on your plate, and then you eat the hard shell taco over it. So all the stuff that falls out goes into the soft shell taco.
Oh, genius!
You know how she learned that one?
Getting
baked with Dave in Silicon Valley. That's what it sounds like to me. So this awful human being comes up to the family acting like he's an undercover police officer, including showing a gun. Well, she realized something wasn't right, and guess what she did?
She
offered to buy him a taco at another place across the way, and when she went over there, she was able to alert some other people. They called 911 and arrested this loser. Do you think you would stay that calm if this was going on?
No. I am a psycho. I would be flipping out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to say I'd be that calm. I'm not convinced.
You're not. You wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I know you.
Wow. No, Lindsay. Would I be dead? Is that what you're saying? I mean,
maybe.
Well, okay. So if the two of us are having the tacos and we're using the Lindsay secret sauce item here, would you potentially sacrifice me to stay alive and to bring the cops there?
No, I wouldn't sacrifice you.
So you give up your own life, and I'm allowed to live. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think I would be like that. I would hope so.
I think we're missing the bigger part of the story here. Tacos are amazing.
Yeah.
This fake cop was not very committed to the bit if all it took to get him to stop pretending to be a fake cop was a free taco. I mean, what, $3? You went through all that work to be a fake cop for a $3 taco.
And he's at a taco place, and they go, hold on a second, the ones across the street are even
much better.
Even better. Now, let's get back to one point. Yes or no, Lindsay, you be the arbiter. Do you think Jane is literally willing to give up her life to save my life? Yes or no?
I actually think Jamie would.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think Jamie comes across as the kind of person in a situation where things were dangerous and it was happening, she would take control of the situation.
She would push me right.
And she is spot on that you would go nuts. You would not handle this well.
What are you talking about? She would push me right in front of that vehicle and then say, I gotta go.
Now, no if she, it was for a taco, no. It might be a different story.
Yeah, it depends. Is it a hard shell or soft shell taco?
Okay, but what is the most eye-opening food trend or something tied to living in Southern California that has surprised you most?
The most surprising? I don't know if it's really been surprising. I eat so much more sushi and ramen here than I ever have in my life.
See, I think there's been a pretty – don't you think, Lindsay, too, we've had a ramen explosion?
Have
in
you?
Sound,
yeah,
yes.
Maybe it's just like the timing of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like with moving out here, it's going to – oh, guess what? It'll be a year this week.
Oh, nice.
Out here. Yeah. So I feel like, you know, I eat a lot more ramen, sushi, and I guess I eat more Mexican food out here than I ever have before, too.
Yeah. When I lived in Arizona, I developed such a love and also a higher tolerance for the spicy stuff.
Yeah.
I remember I went back a year after – to my favorite authentic place with my buddies, and I thought I was in the fetal position. They're like, what happened to you? Like, after a year of just having, I was living in Rochester at the time.
Yeah.
And it was like, let me tell you, the spicy Mexican food in Rochester, Minnesota isn't quite here.
It's not the same. Well, the thing that I think is funny about that, though, is like I've now become a snob. Like, it used to be like, oh, I love chips and salsa. I'll order chips and salsa wherever you know, at any Mexican restaurant. Now I'm like, oh, we can't possibly eat there. They have terrible chips and salsa. And that place doesn't have, you know, they don't grill their meat the right way or whatever. I've become like very snobbish.
Well, we if there's a specialty where you live, you learn to like it even more. Okay, give me one item you're working on.
I am actually the reason I'm kind of, I don't know, maybe in a mood today. Mm. I have to go down these poor women. I'm interviewing some women with the USC and the handling complaints about that campus gynecologist.
This story, another story.
Horrific.
In LA, it's getting the publicity, not nationwide. Tell people about it.
Well, so we are going to be doing a story for CBS this morning, tomorrow, but there's another group of women who have now come forward, a gynecologist at the University of Southern California. There have been misconduct complaints against this individual, sexual misconduct complaints, since the 90s.
Yeah, for decades.
For decades. I mean,
huge
some of the
number.
Coming out now weren't even alive when this guy started getting complaints against them. They actually, the LAPD said that they believe he saw at least 10,000 women.
Oh.
And if you think back, there's now up to 52 victims. There's more victims who came forward today, and they're asking people to come forward.
Yeah.
But the university covered a lot of this up. So now the
Department of
Education's involved and some other things. So I'm working on that story. It's not really a fun one.
No.
But it's an important one.
Absolutely.
I think in terms of the conversation and what needs to be done, this guy just he says
horrible.
He didn't do anything wrong, Dr. Tyndale. But
no.
Yeah. You know, there's just been so many complaints. The thing that really kind of scares me about the whole case is so many of the women had never seen a gynecologist before.
Right. So
this is the first time that they're going to see a doctor, and this is the experience they have. It's just
if people paid attention to the Nassar story, there's
similarities
in too many ways, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. So,
I got,
anyway, on that note, have a great Tuesday.
Exactly. Thank you, Jamie. Jamie Ukas, our friend with us. Check out that story because it's well worth watching because it's horrible. 153, Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to call Lindis for free home improvement estimates on windows, gutters, and roofing. As I've told you many times, the station is a proud partner with Twin Cities Public Television in presenting Minnesota remembers Vietnam, the wall that heals. It is a 3-4 scale model replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in D.C., and it's coming to the state capitol grounds soon, June 21st to the 24th. It's open to the public 24 hours a day, allowing Minnesotans the opportunity to remember, honor, and understand and heal. You can check all this information out at mnvietnam.org/wall. mnvietnam.org/wall. Plenty of North Korea talk next hour and some audio from Bill Clinton. That certainly will get a reaction.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.